The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. We are here live after the Thursday night eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 6. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Melissa Denny. How you doing, Melissa?
Yeah, whatever. I'm here. I shut up.
Also with me is Brent. How you doing, Brent?
Go to hell.
Yeah. Okay. We have the chat room open on robhasawebsite.com. You can send questions in to me on Twitter at @ArmstrongTaryn. I just tweeted a tweet out. Just reply to that tweet. Give me some questions so we don't have to fight. First thing I think we have to mention off the top, big news came from this episode. The gatecrashers came and two of them left. Kirsten and Mikey are out. And I just want to quickly say, I know a lot of you are angry, especially if you are a listener of this podcast. If you're in the RHAP community, you're probably pretty upset about the fact that Kirsten didn't make it in. The first thing I want to say to everyone that is upset, that I really implore you not to direct your anger toward Veronica or her Twitter or her family or anything like that. She did not ask to be put in the situation that she was in. Her and her family do not deserve any hate. I hope that as a community, RHAP can represent themselves well in this situation, no matter how disappointed you are. Second, I do want to say my heart goes out to Kirsten. I know how much she wanted this. I am very devastated for her. And I know we all are, but that is not going to taint the rest of the season for us. We will continue to cover it. We will continue to remain as positive as we can. So for both Kirsten and Mikey, we're gonna keep at it. Brent, how did you feel about all this?
I don't really know how to feel. I mean, I definitely have some strong feelings, but I don't really know how to express some of them. I'll start with what I can express. It's actually a bit of a coincidence that earlier yesterday, Rob was talking to me about the small stipend that I get for covering RHAP. And when I saw the results of the gatecrashers spoiled on Twitter today, For a hot moment, I was thinking about just giving it back to him and saying, you know, girl, bye. Honestly, I was. But then I was like, no, I like money way too much. I just have some strong feelings about this because I don't have a problem with people who wanted to vote for Veronica. If you wanted to vote for Veronica, if you thought Kirsten was fake, and by the way, Arissa, her name is Kirsten, not Kirsten. If she's going to be on the show for, 2 minutes, maybe you could get it right. Girl, bye. I really think that they maybe would have thought this out a little bit better because they're saying that this is for the fans. And yet it's their decision to put someone who doesn't even own a television into a popularity contest with a girl who has dreamed about us her whole life. Now, not to say that this girl who's dreamed about this her whole life in Kirsten would make great television. I don't know if she would or not. I think she would. She's a fan of the game, so that automatically gives her a leg up on the game. But I know Veronica hasn't. And I feel like it's pretty shitty of them to say, as Arissa said last night. And by the way, I was defending their show last night, but tonight I'm going to go in on them. That this is for the fans. I'm sorry. You cannot say that with a straight face, Arissa Cox. And then watch what happened on that episode tonight. It's not possible. I think Arissa Cox herself does believe that she wants it to be for the fans. I know Arissa herself is a huge fan of the show. She's the mouthpiece for the show, so she's the person I have to direct my anger to, and my anger is going to her because that's just bullshit. It's just bullshit that this is for the fans. You can't say that to me with a straight face if you let the girl who doesn't have a TV, who's never watched the show before, when she was saying that she's watched 2 seasons of the show, that was when she was in sequester. Okay, so before that, she hadn't seen anything of the show. And I'm just really brokenhearted for somebody who not because she's a fan of RHAP, but because she is a fan of the show and they said they're doing it for the fans. I think that that's just a company line at this point, Arissa. Sorry.
Well, I think it's ridiculous that they did the whole devil versus angel thing, because I know that when I was a casual fan, long ago, I used to be like, I want the good guys. I want the nice people. I don't want the mean people. I mean, I hated Jerry Manthe and Survivor, Australia. I was like, get this girl out of here. Although now I'd be like, yeah, she creates drama. She creates tension, even though she really wasn't even that bad. But, nowadays I want the excitement. I want the people in there who are going to make big moves and do stuff. But earlier when I was younger, I used to be like, I want the happy people. I want the nice people. But they arbitrarily gave them this like devil persona or angel persona and made them say, recite these lines about like, don't get on my bad side or whatever. It's like, obviously you're not going to want to vote that person in if you're just like a casual fan who wants the good people to win, even though Kirsten's not like that. Kirsten is probably a really nice person. You know what I mean? Like, and then, you know, Veronica, like in her interview, she said she used to be a bully in high school. So I don't think she can really be classified as an angel. So, you know, I just think it's ridiculous that they basically made it so that the hell people weren't ever going to get in. They didn't have a chance with the casual viewers.
Yeah. And honestly, for my part, at least, it's hard for me to say, look, this is the worst outcome, because a majority of people seemed to vote for Veronica. And if that's what the majority of people wanted, that is the nature of this twist. And it's why I think that the twist itself is where we falter here. I think that setting it up for such massive disappointment is a bad thing to begin with. I think we've always hated these kinds of things. The day one eviction, the get people on stage just to dash their hopes forever, especially by the audience that you hope to play the game in front of. I just think everything about it is so not necessary. What kind of drama did this create? What did this do?
Nothing.
For the show? I
piss people off, you know.
Yeah, I've heard that the audience was booing when the results were read, which I'm sure makes nobody happy. Does anybody enjoy watching it, like just watching people's hopes just dash in front of their eyes?
And Kirsten was totally shuffled off, like with no dignity whatsoever. It was like, it was like, I'm going to read the results. And she said, Veronica. And I was waiting for her to say, Veronica, sorry, it isn't you. You know, like she always does the fake out. It wasn't a fake out. Veronica was in the house. Kirsten stunned, sad. And we didn't even get a moment's reaction while, again, getting her name wrong. So, just shuffled off, girl, bye, see ya, sorry, your dream died at the doorstep. You went through the whole casting process, mm-hmm. only to be put into a shitty twist, given a shitty background, and told to say certain things so that Canada could then vote on those fake things to begin with. Sorry, Melissa, let me finish. And then just, I don't understand why they would do this. They have to know that Kirsten is one of the biggest supporters of their community. And then to say they're doing it for the fans, it's just total bullshit. Look, I'm going to be angry about this word tonight. I'm going to let this go after I Friday comes along. I'm glad that we don't have another show for a couple days. But right now, it really, really stinks.
It's just also like, don't put them through the whole process. Don't let everybody know that they're up for it and that they don't get it. Like, I'd much prefer to make it through the process and then not have this happen to me. Like, get be cut right before or something like that. Because then at least you're not humiliated in front of everybody. It's so cruel. And, you know, it's not even that it's Kirsten. It's anybody who's a super fan to me. Like, someone whose dream is to be on the show. And then the girl who gets in is bragging about how she has never watched the show, or she's like, oh God, I'm going in blind. Like, it's just ridiculous.
right in front of Kirsten too. Right after Kirsten said, "I don't want people to know I'm a huge fan of the show," which I don't think it was a good. If she was going to get in the house, obviously she's going in with somebody, one of the guys. They're going to know that she has watched a lot of the show. So obviously a strategic misstep from her right off the top. If she had gotten in the house, but then to then hear that the girl you're up against hasn't even watched the show, and you can totally tell she's a recruit. And then she gets in over you and you're told by Arissa that Canada didn't vote for you. And this is your one and only shot. I agree with you, Melissa. I would rather them just, I mean, this added nothing to the episode because you crammed everything else in. Like, I tried to give you props last night, Big Brother Canada. I tried. I said, you know what? I'm giving you a chance. But this episode really stunk. I mean, there was just nothing here. It was like literally from the veto competition right to the,
straight
ceremony,
to the ceremony,
right to the vote.
Nothing happened. It was like everything happened, but nothing happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing like fun that I like to watch, which is the strategy, which is the talking, which is the, you know,
It was cruel. It was cruel to do that to Kirsten. I maybe more so to Kirsten than Mikey. I don't know exactly much. He's watched the show, but I just hated seeing her dream die like that. That was off. While people like Olivia and Derek just get cast in the house, you know, carte blanche. They don't have to fight for anything. They were just given spots on the show. But again, this is for the fans. Just take that and shove it up your ass. Sorry.
No, and then it's like, yay, oh my God, Big Brother Canada's back. It's like, oh, is this what you wanted? You wanted Big Brother Canada back? Like, this is what you get. And it's like everything horrible. I don't know what's going on.
I'm just, you know, again, like regardless of who gets cut here, I'm so sick of starting a Big Brother season with just a huge bummer. I felt the exact same way, obviously to a lesser extent, but when Cameron went home in Big Brother 19, I was so bummed for him. And it's like,
at least you have to go in the house. It's so stupid, the whole thing. It's just like, why do they, nobody wants this. Nobody wants like a fan vote before anyone gets in. And then you crush their dreams before the season even starts. It's just
exactly. And I think that, you know, if you have somebody in the house and they cause their own demise or they fail to save themselves, like there's a lot of different ways that people can go home in a very entertaining way. And I just don't understand what the point is of introducing us to somebody and saying, no, actually, they're not a part of this season at all.
It's just a waste of time, too. We could have seen more stuff going on with the actual house guests who are going to be in the season. Instead, we wasted a bunch of time on this.
And
it's
by the way,
dumb.
I'm really sick of the people who are coming at me like, you know what? This is Big Brother Canada. It's not for you Americans. And we're three Americans covering the show. The show has always told us how much of an international appeal they have. They advertise it. They live for that. We cover the show. We give them media dollars. I mean, I just don't see how that even.
What do you want? For us to stop talking about it? Is that what you want, for people to not talk about it because if you're not in Canada, you're not allowed to talk about it. I don't, that argument doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, well, this is for Canadians. Like, this is what you get. Oh, you want Big Brother US, take your Big Brother US. Like, this is supposed to be for everybody. We don't tell you guys like, oh, nobody international can watch Big Brother US. It's so dumb.
Yes, this is, I'm glad we chose Zesty Melissa as the hashtag last time because she is here to play right now.
Yeah, well, you know, when I'm pissed off.
Yes, and really, it's just like, again, I can't complain enough about this format and the way that they go about this. Even Rosina, who I feel like could have been I know some people saw her as annoying, but I think she was also very lovable to a lot of people. And I feel like she was really short shrifted with the exit that she got. We saw essentially like one episode of her, and it was like extremely fast forwarded, and we barely got to know her really.
Did you see in the chat? They're saying, "Do you want good podcasting? Is this what you want?"
Yeah, I did feel bad for Rosina. I felt like she was somebody that we could have gotten something out of. Having said that, of the people that were eligible for eviction, I was happy that she ultimately was the one who went home. I heard that Arissa Cox at the taping said that if you don't get rid of a player like this early on, then they're going to morph into somebody where every time you look at them, you're like, well, I don't want to waste an HOH on her. So I am glad that she ultimately was the one evicted. Having said that, I agree with you, Taryn. Really, really short shrift given to Rosina. I think we heard more from Hamza than Rosina insofar as saving Rosina. So not a good look for the show, but that's how Big Brother Canada does with their first episode. You think they would learn after all this time that we don't really we don't really care for it.
Yeah, I tried to say all of this yesterday,
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have enough anger to direct at you because I'm directing it all at the show currently.
Yes. Unless you guys have anything else here, I feel like, you know, we have to move on. This result happened and...
I have one more thing to say quickly.
Go ahead.
For all the people out there who are complaining that Rob is a Podcast has too much influence over the fan vote, y'all can take a seat. Because that's just not true. The casuals out there, the number in the millions, it's just not even close. We are like a subset of the super fans. And just I never want to hear people say that again, that, you know, that Rob as a Podcast is unfairly influencing the vote. It's just it's not possible. We're one of a million people and y'all need to take a seat.
Yeah, there was a poll in the Big Brother patron group for Rob Has a Podcast where people were voting on how many times they had voted in the Gatecrasher poll, and the majority of them had voted over 100 times. So multiply our fan base in the patron group by 100, and it still was not nearly enough to overcome what I thought was, even for anybody who wasn't aware of RHAP, a relatively obvious choice. So I think it's very clear that in some ways Brent was also right yesterday when he said that there is a huge portion of the fan base that is just not connected to us at all. And they have a large vote, because it's not even to do with RHAP, but I didn't even see much support for Veronica online at all. Like all of the fan polls, Jokers, BB Daily, you know, Big Brother Now, all of them, all of the Twitter polls showed a huge margin with a Kirsten win. So, Canada has a casual audience, and I think this is one of the first times we've ever really seen them come out to play. And boy, were we shook. All right. Again, this is how it's happened. We have to move on, just like the show. We'll move on. The feeds will be live in about 20 minutes. So if you are interested in watching the feeds, I suggest you check out the BB Viewer. Liquid8D on Twitter, at Liquid8D, is the creator of the BB Viewer. Go to his Twitter or just Google it. Grab the BB Viewer. It's very, very useful to get the feeds. You may still... it may not be working fully yet, but it is, I believe, the best method. But you can also go to hamsterwatch.com if you're interested in getting more detailed directions for how to watch. But feeds will be coming on soon. Let's talk about this episode, though. The episode before the Gatecrashers. It was a very, very fast and speedy episode. We got through a lot of stuff, starting with when Johnny won the HOH with Roz cheering against him. And that was going to prove to be a fatal mistake, Brent.
Yeah, boy, I think she would like that one back. And I do agree with Rosina that she wasn't the only one who was rooting for the girl to win over Johnny. But she was certainly the most vocal. And given that they couldn't see them, I think, were they behind them? I can't remember, but it seemed like, I don't know if they could necessarily see who was rooting for who. You knew 100% that Rosina was definitely not on Johnny's side.
Yeah, I think the people that were in heaven were behind them, and then the people that had fallen were maybe in front of them. Okay. I'm not sure. Yes, Johnny ends up winning, and the chat is very sad because they see Melissa in the corner just looking so sad, and nobody likes to see Melissa sad.
Well, they're not wrong.
Yes. Look, a lot of people are sad. Kirsten is back into reality. I sent her a message. Send her some love, everyone. Send Kirsten some love, and send Mikey some love, because he doesn't have a whole community to wrap around him with support. So send Mikey some love as well. But getting back to the episode, Johnny ends up winning this HOH. And he has this conversation with Allie, where Allie is telling him, "I'm so happy that you won this HOH, because you're going to do what you want to do. You're going to do what's best for your game. And that's great for me. Brent, how did you feel about this conversation? Because you were talking about it to me before the episode start or the podcast started.
Yeah, I felt like it was just so transparent what she was trying to accomplish. I think that the better course of action would have just been to, you know, friend Johnny, to be kind to him, to talk about boys, to talk about the game, to talk about anything other than the fact that he's the HOH. And hopefully by doing that, he'll establish a bond with you, think he can trust you naturally, and then by consequence keep you safe. Again, I'll give her a pass. It's the first week. Maybe she's panicking. All of a sudden, only six people are up for eviction. She was the first person to fall, but she really should have played this better. In addition, she was the one, to my eye anyway, that brought up the fact that, well, I know it would be easy to just put the first two people up as nominees, the first two people who fell off the HOH competition. I'm like, why are you saying that? That means you. Like, you, it's like when people say something, well, I don't want you to do this, and then you are the one who incepts them into the idea. Not that Johnny hadn't even thought about that, but if anything, that gave him permission to be able to at least put you up since you were the first person to fall.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing where it's like, even by saying, because what she said was, look, I know the easy thing to do would be to put up the first people that fell, but you shouldn't do that. When it's, you just admitted that that's the easy thing to do. You reinforced the idea that would be the easy thing to do. Not only did you reinforce it, but you just told him yourself that you would understand it because you agree that it's the easy thing to do. So I don't think this was the best decision making from Allie. That said, of course, we saw very little about what happened here. Who knows if that was the first time it was brought up. Maybe he brought it up and she was just repeating it. But from what we saw, this seemed like a mistake. No, Melissa?
I didn't get to see that part because my...
Oh, that was the part where you're, her feet's cut off for like 5 minutes there.
Yeah.
But we didn't get to see much beyond that, so you didn't miss much. It was just the fact that she was fighting for her life, and Hamza, I think, I don't know if this was before or after, but he was, upon hearing that Rosina might be in danger, he was definitely worried about losing his cook.
Melissa, your bot in the chat is sending you love. I think your bot is willing to take some of your emotions for you right now and hold on to them so you can be a little more robotic and survive the
pain. It's a good point too. I'm with Melissa on this. The thing that makes this different is that it's real people, and we know the people. Yeah. And I know Kirsten, and I feel terrible for her, and all of the anger that I'm feeling is because of her, because I can see myself being her. I can see all of us.
We could all be her. Like, all super fans could be her. And I'm just putting myself in her position, and potentially Mikey. I don't know how much he watched, but if he was a super fan as well, I feel bad for him too. It's like, we could all, like, we have to think of it in terms of, we could all be that person standing on the stage, so excited to go in. The person across from you says they've never watched a show before and is joking about it. And you're like, okay, like, I have a good chance. I'm going to get in. This is me. I'm going to get it. The fans are voting. I'm a fan. Like, I'm one of them. And then you don't get voted in. And a lot of people are saying they were voting for Veronica because they were voting against Kirsten. I think that's so mean to vote against someone. Like, it just, that it's the same thing as for, you know, voting against Ross and Celebrity Big Brother. It's like, don't vote against somebody, vote for somebody. It makes me, if people really like Veronica enough to vote her in because they want to see her in the game and they're excited about her and they're, you know, whatever, that's fine. But to vote for her because they want to piss off the people who are fans of Kirsten's, or they want to piss us off, which, like, okay, I don't understand that, but okay. Or they want to, like, go, like, make Kirsten, they're like laughing at her on Twitter, and it's so mean. It's just mean. It's vindictive and mean, and I don't like it. And you know how much I don't like mean people, and that's what's, like, making me so frustrated and sad right now, is that it just, we could all be that person.
Yes, we've talked before about how Melissa cries even just looking at puppies. So I guess, you know, not surprising that we're having some difficulty tonight. Unfortunately, we have to move on. Johnny ends up wrapping up his conversation with Allie. After talking about how Raw is rooted against him, sorry, yes. Puffy's in cages. Johnny asks Allie about how Roz was supposedly cheering against him. I'm sure he heard it. And he wanted some confirmation that that was happening. And Allie confirms, yes, she was rooting against you because she wanted a woman to win. And, you know, for Johnny, who is one of the two guys in hell right now, that says, oh, so she was essentially targeting me. That's not a good look for Roz, Brent.
Especially not. I think this may have ultimately swayed him to target Roz over somebody like Will, because, you know, the best laid plans, we evaluate these people based on their preseason interviews. Johnny, everything, the thing that came through loud and clear during his preseason interviews was he doesn't want a bro to win. He doesn't want to bro down with anybody. The alpha males are the people that he just cannot get along with. Now, ultimately, maybe he decided that he liked Will, who was the only eligible, quote unquote, alpha male, you know, who was eligible for eviction. But I really think that Rosina rooting against Johnny may have ultimately caused him to switch his target. Because, again, remember the end of that HOH competition. He did not want to make a deal with those two. I don't really understand why, especially when they were trying to hand him HOH. But he did not want to make a deal with Will and was it Paris? I think. Yes.
Paris. Yeah.
And so I thought for sure he was not wanting to make a deal because he ultimately didn't want to have to go back on that deal because he wanted to target them. But that's not what happened. And
I think we're just starting to see that Johnny's making a lot of dumb decisions.
Boy, he's bad, isn't he? Taryn.
You win HOH, you win veto when you don't need it. Like,
his DRs, ridiculous. His DRs were so terrible. They were so scripted. I mean, Big Brother Canada, please stop. I mean, that was just, my mom could tell that you're feeding him lines there. I mean, that was just terrible when he's talking about, well, I have the angel on my shoulder who's saying to do this, and I have the devil on my shoulder who's saying to do this, and I'm like, yeah, devil, let's go. Let's play. Like, it's just so canned. Ugh.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous.
Look, okay, I tweeted that Johnny reminds me of Mitch, not with his gameplay or his DRs, just the way he looks and his mannerisms and the way that he speaks. It gives me Mitch flashbacks. Obviously, anybody, like, I'm the first person to say nobody compares to the god Mitch. Don't come for me like that.
He wishes. And then his whole interaction with Rosina and Allie and Kayla, I think, and Maddie, I can't remember. I'm still having trouble telling them apart at this point, or at least remembering who said what, because I watched two episodes and they were really crammed together. The woman who came up to the HOH room, I think it was Kayla, who said, you know, hey, what are you thinking about? And he's like, I don't know what to do. I can't make this decision. I liked that a little bit better, where he's trying to let them believe that he's weak. But then he totally undoes all of that by winning the veto competition, mm-hmm. winning HOH and veto the first
Just such
and Elizabeth
mistake.
Just did that on Celebrity Big Brother. Johnny, you're a fan of Big Brother. I mean, come on. Why in the world did he think he had to do that?
It's such a mistake.
Yeah, even like partway through a season, winning HOH and veto in the same week is such, it puts such a target on you because you have all the power. I think one thing that might be actually beneficial to him now is the fact that they were split up and that he, again, didn't have power over any of the other people in the house. So that half of the house certainly saw him win competitions, but he won competitions that they weren't really a part of, for the most part. And he never had any power over them. So he's not as threatening as somebody like Shannon Elizabeth, who not only won that first HOH, but theoretically like could have nominated anyone and, you know, completely dominates that veto competition with a 16 letter word. So
I have a question, Taryn. Yeah. How many weeks over under for Johnny to survive in the Big Brother house?
Oh man, without having the feeds, it's so hard to know.
Okay, yeah, I'm asking you for your gut, Fancy Fencerton. Make a guess.
I think he's good. I think there are a lot of other targets in the house. I think that the heaven and hell thing might actually work out for him. I don't think he's going to be getting power anytime soon, but I can see him, you know, sticking in there for a little while, like, 4 or 5 weeks at least.
What do you think over there, Missy?
Yeah, I'd say probably 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go out on a limb and say 2 weeks. I think that he totally gets Johnny'd from Big Brother Canada 3. I think he went out week 3 or week 4. I can't remember. I think it was Bobby's HOH, right? Oh, it all blends together. Who cares? You know what I'm talking about. I think he totally goes out in that spot. So he did himself no favors by winning HOH and veto and then trying to pretend like a weak person. It's just it's weak sauce. It doesn't work.
Well, we'll be able to know with like 90% greater accuracy in about 9 minutes. So
I know, that's why I wanted to get your guess in right before the gun.
Look, I tweeted out a whole set of predictions about what I thought was going on in the Big Brother house before the feeds came back. I was right. Roz left. I was wrong about Will winning the veto, though. So we move on. Johnny, as we talked about, he cried, pretending that he was weak. He ends up talking to Roz and says, look, I'm sorry. I'm going to put you on the block. You cheered against me. That was no good. And then we have this scene of Rosina, you know, just essentially just like begging, like, please, no, like, I can help you. Like, don't do this. But ultimately, not enough, Brent.
Yeah, it didn't work. I think that she just totally made her bed. Look, this is what happens when you pick your horse too early. She picked the horse in that HOH competition. She was rooting for Paris. Come on, Paris. Every time, Paris, to keep your head up, Paris. Come on, come on. Like, I mean, you couldn't have been any more obvious about who you did not want to win. And whether or not you really wanted, you know, Johnny to be in danger, whether or not you really wanted him to go home, he has very little to go off of at this point. And given that it seems like you may be at least annoying part of the house, I know you at least annoyed the studio audience, Roz. This was as good a reason as any to put her up for eviction. And then to top it all off, he takes up Allie on her suggestion and puts up the first person who fell off the HOH competition up with Roz as a pawn.
Yeah, I really think that, you know, Roz did herself in here. You know, not only was she in a compromised position heading into the house, being so much older than the rest of the cast, which usually puts you a little bit on the outs, she also really just, you know, she put her foot in her mouth and rooted against the guy that ended up winning HOH. And I really feel like Johnny might have been inclined to target Will, being somebody that didn't want to work with bros. And yep. And I'm sure would have loved to work with all those women. But when those women are rooting against you, it's hard to say, no, it's OK that you were rooting against. It's hard to be essentially what Ross refused to be, which is, oh, yeah, I'm fine with being the one guy in this alliance that you were rooting against. So of course he's going to, you know, make a move. And Roz was the perfect person to target, I think, for Johnny, because she was rooting against him and she's the easy boot. Like nobody's going to really stick their neck out for Roz, except for, as we saw, Hamza. Melissa, how did you feel about, Hamza and his attempts to save Rosina?
I feel like they were a little half-baked. I don't know. It didn't really seem like he really tried that hard. But, you know, I really don't think you should put your neck out there so early. I feel like, you know, it's not that big of a deal if she stays or goes. And as long as it's not you in the first week, then don't bother with it. Don't mess with it. So, you know, I don't think it was maybe the best decision, but I don't think it's really going to hurt him that much.
I don't know. There was a little bit of a sneak peek on the feeds today, and we saw that. I'm being an ugly American when I say Hamza, so it's Hamza.
I think it's Hamza.
Hamza. Okay. I'll check that out. I think that he said on the feeds today that he was trying to save Rosina, and he failed her. So he went to her and told her. So she knew she was going home, going into this vote. And you know, to her credit, she was fighting all the way up till the end. But Taryn, like I said, she made her bed and she had to pay for it.
Yes. Yes, we're being told in the chat it's pronounced Hamza.
Hamza.
So
Hamza? Okay. Yes. It's not Hum. Okay. All right.
So Roz is not happy about this. She says, just because I rooted against you in the competition, you're going to target me. That is not right. That is not okay. I am not happy about this. I really enjoyed her complaining about it. Like, this is a trap. This is not right. This is unjust.
It's unjust. Yes, I was rooting for somebody else to win the HOH competition, but you still should not target me for reasons.
Yes. We also very quickly see this alliance form, and we basically know nothing about it or how it really like came together or what the purpose is, but it must be important. They must be running the house or something because they felt it important enough to like really just slam it in there. Kayla, Paris, Derek, and Jesse form this The Real Deal alliance. Melissa, how are you judging The Real Deal as a name for an alliance, especially compared to previous Big Brother Canada alliance names?
Well, there's been worse names for sure, but
it's very true.
I mean, I feel like it's pretty lame, but most alliance names are pretty lame. But I will say that I'm happy about this alliance because it includes two of my draft picks. So, you know, that might be good for me if they end up running the house for a bit. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm a little surprised at this alliance, I guess, because I didn't think Paris and Kayla were going to join up with those guys. So, you know, I'm a little surprised by it, but also at the same time, not too surprised, because if I was in the house, I'd probably join up with strong guys too. So
right. So it was Paris, Kayla, Jesse, and was it Derek?
Derek.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm not surprised at all about anybody getting into bed with Derek. You know what I mean? I think that he's a really sweet guy. He's got that small town charm with, you know, a little big city like smartness, I think is what he said in his interview video. But he's very, very charming. And I can see totally people wanting to use him as a part of a bigger group moving forward.
Yeah, I will say we still know so little about these people. When I went to write the names of this alliance, I had to look up what was that guy's name? Jesse? Okay, it's Jesse. I didn't even know who this guy. I don't think we've seen a single thing from him in the house yet.
You don't know anything about anyone.
Yeah, we really don't. So they come together, they form this alliance. I'm slightly nervous about this. I hope that, you know, I think we all want Paris to be the next coming of Netta in Big Brother Canada 2. This was not really Netta's game plan, so she's veering off that course. We'll see how she does. The Real Deal, it worries, the name worries me because it reminds me of Big Brother 2 when Kent and them named their alliance The Real People. The Real People. This is oh my the God, real
that's
deal.
That's a deep pull. I do not remember that.
It's what happens when you listen to the Big Brother 2 blockumentary.
But first,
is yes. this an ad break?
Yes, today we are sponsored by But First, a Big Brother 2 blockumentary done by these two great dudes, I promise.
Is that part of your script that you have to read?
Yes. Right.
Two great dudes.
Rob mentions The Other People was another, they like to call themselves Top, The Other People.
Oh my God. This takes me back. Because I know where I was when that was happening. I was in the army. Like, that's like way back. I was like a child back then.
Oh crazy.
Yeah,
stuff.
I was a child when I was watching that season.
Yeah. It's been on for a long time, man.
So
we get another thing. Another thing that I noticed was Derek was talking about Kayla when she was hosting this veto competition that comes up. This I don't remember what it was called. They're dressed in like caterpillar suits.
Game of Inches.
Game of Inches. That's what it was. And Derek comments about how great Kayla looks in her, whatever she was dressed in. And that signals to me, you know, they are in an alliance together. He's starting to comment. Maybe this is our first showmance of the season. What do you think, Melissa?
I could see it for sure. Yeah, I could totally see it. It makes sense to me. She has a beautiful butterfly.
I thought you were going somewhere else with that.
No, but for real though, I liked that competition. I thought it was funny and fun, and it was silly and like, but not silly in a way that was humiliating. Although even though it was a little bit humiliating, but favorite, it was good. It was the little inchworms. I liked it.
My favorite part of that competition was when they were talking about Johnny being in the lead, and like I know this for most people, this isn't a visual podcast, but you could see Roz and she was going like this. She knew her goose was cooked if he wins the veto.
Yeah, I wish we had gotten like the regular amount of Roz, because even though I do agree with Brent, I'm kind of happy that she is out before she just kind of becomes the person that they drag along for a while.
Yeah,
not to say that that's definitely... Yeah, not to say that that's definitely who she would have been, but it seemed like she would have been given the fact that she was voted out first. But it would have been, I think there were more character moments that we could have seen from her before we had to lose her.
By the way, I'm really glad that the prop people from Survivor were able to sell their materials to Big Brother Canada, because this was exactly what was happening to Chrissy and Ryan last year on Survivor when they were like, remember, they're going up the sand hill and down the sand hill, and Ryan just could not get that whatever he was pushing. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the same one they had in Millennials versus Gen X, where they bind the hands and feet together.
Yeah. Where can I get one of those? Are you selling them? So, yeah.
You want one?
Just to be fun. All right.
It's apparently they do some damage on Survivor, at least.
Yeah.
It did remind me of that competition a lot. Only, of course, Big Brother-ified. I'm not sure what caterpillars have to do with heaven and hell, but.
Nothing.
They're
over that narrative, apparently.
I don't know. So Johnny ends up winning this veto, despite the fact that Hamza is really trying to win it. He apparently wants to win this and save Roz. He's really going gung ho about this, but fails to do so. Johnny ends up winning the veto, as we talked about, HOH and veto. He has all the power, and we get the fastest veto ceremony I have ever seen. Even faster than double eviction vetoes. I blinked and it was over, Melissa.
Yeah, it was like they spent no time on any of this. It was like, all right, let's just get this over with. I didn't even see it happen, essentially.
Yeah.
I just feel like it.
Normally when a veto ceremony happens, my brain just kind of automatic. I've seen Big Brother so much. My brain just goes, okay, I've got about a minute before anything really happens, because they're going to talk about, in the veto ceremony, we do this, and I'm so torn about my decision, and I will do this, and I will pull the key, and I will talk about the thing, and you will do a speech, and the speeches won't matter. And this was like, my brain turned off, and then it was already done. I was like, wait a minute, what happened? I totally missed this, Brent.
Yeah, I almost missed it too. But having said that, we knew that he wasn't going to change his nominations. I will give it up to Johnny just a little bit. I think he's generally played pretty badly. But in this moment, I thought he did well, where he was in front of the whole house and saying, you know, I just can't use the veto on one of you. And then, because that would force me to name another person as a replacement nominee, and there's even less reason for someone else to go up on the block than was for you guys to be put up in the first place. I'm so sorry. Like, I thought that he handled himself with a little bit of empathy, so that was nice to see.
Yeah, and I just want to say, I'm not complaining about this. I would love for veto ceremonies to go this quickly in the future.
Yes.
Especially, like, if there's something to show in the veto ceremony, like Godfrey makes a huge speech, by all means, have a nice long veto ceremony. But when nothing happens, I'm totally cool with just skipping right over it. I am very happy about that.
Yeah, with the way speeches are going these days, where it's just like shouting out to your friends or just like making inside jokes or doing something stupid, we don't need the speeches. Like, they should really just film the speeches. And then if the speeches are important or change anything or, you know, whatever, that's fine. Include them. But if they don't, just cut them out. We don't need them. And I don't need their explanations of like, and like, this is the veto ceremony.
Exactly.
I will open up this. It's like, oh my God. Okay. We get it. We get it.
You know, it really, I would say it used to be worse, but it really hasn't gotten much better over the course of time. Except maybe not. Maybe we're starting to see a revolution in veto ceremony and HOA in nomination ceremony, depictions.
I doubt it. I think they were just trying to cram so much in here that, they just gave it short shrift. So yeah, moving on.
Yes. So again, we see Hamza. He talks to Derek. He tries to get it in people's heads. We gotta save Roz, man. And it's just not happening. Derek isn't taking to it. And Hamza says something interesting. He says, "I want to control the vote every single week this season. I don't care if it puts a target on my back." I think Hamza is exactly what we thought he would be, and in all the right ways, hopefully, because we didn't see him as a huge target. We just saw him as somebody that was doing crazy things and will probably become a target eventually. But he seems personable enough that he's not just a total pariah that's not making any headway. Right, Brent?
Yes, personable enough. I thought he acquitted himself, you know, reasonably well, considering that he was trying to flip a vote with, what, 11 people voting. But having said that, when it came time to put your money where your mouth is, he went in the diary room and voted off Roz. So I was glad to see that, he wasn't the one person who was sticking out, the Adele, if you will. I just don't want that to happen to him this early in the game, because I think that he could actually give us some really good feeds and maybe some really bad strategy, which would be really wonderful to watch.
Yes. He already didn't control the vote, and it's the first week. So, yeah.
And I want to remind people, if you have any questions for us, send them to me on Twitter. My feed is currently filled up with people arguing with each other. So yeah, I need some too. Questions. You can also put them into the chat as well. I can see them there. So send us some questions. We ultimately get to the vote here. And by unanimous vote, Roz is evicted from the Big Brother house. Again, not too much fanfare, and I don't think we needed it. We knew it was coming. For as rushed as this was, like, this is the exact kind of episode I would love to see, like, 6 weeks into the season, when as soon as somebody wins HOH, we know what's going to happen. I would love to see this kind of episode under those circumstances. Under these circumstances, we have no idea what's happening. So it's a little hit and miss in that regard.
They had to cram in, killing someone's dream on national television, which is always really fun. Cruelty is a really big draw, I hear. So there was that. And also, I was laughing at the fact that it is either Arissa or someone from the staff who said that they thought that introducing this heaven and hell twist into the game would cause less unanimous house votes for the first week. That twist, like many, was just a big flop.
Yeah.
Yes. So we got a quick question from Matthew in the chat. Is there anyone who should try to win the HOH here? Because obviously an HOH will have taken place on the once the feeds come back on, we will know who the HOH winner is, I assume. They will have taken place after the eviction happened and after the gatecrashers entered the game. Who do you think should be trying to win this? Obviously, the gatecrashers are immune, and you have to assume that this alliance of four has some influence. Do they want to win HOH? Does somebody like Hamza want to win HOH? Melissa, what are your thoughts here?
I think Ali should try to win HOH because, she was already on the block, and in the beginning of the game, that creates an easy target in you because you could say, well, she was already on the block, let's just put her up again. Like, it's very easy. So I think she really should win because at this point they're already thinking of her as a target, or they're thinking of her as somebody who can be on the block and who's done it before. So she should try for it for sure.
Yeah, I agree, Taryn. I thought that Allie is the person who I think needs to go from the outhouse to the penthouse. And that happens so much in Big Brother. So I would love to see that and give herself some options in this game rather than just reacting to other people's moves.
Yeah, she will quickly become known as a person that is a pawn if she doesn't quickly reverse that image. Troy in the chat asks, what is the best story the gatecrashers could have come up with to go into this house rather than I can't think of anything better than play dumb. So this is something that we haven't talked about yet. This plan, the gatecrashers, Marin and Veronica are told, you're not allowed to say that you were voted into the house. You have to come up with a story of your own. And when I heard about this twist, this twist that they couldn't, tell the truth, I was like, that's kind of what's the point of that? Like, obviously, like, what does it matter if they were voted in or if they weren't voted in? But then when I saw what their planned story, I was like, okay, I guess this is something that will matter because according to what I heard, and I could be wrong because it sounds so unbelievable to me. They're planning on saying that they came to the live show to watch the episode. They entered into some kind of draw and then were chosen, were taken up from the stage and were just put straight into the Big Brother house. And immediately my thought goes, like, then you would have known what happened on the episode. You would have seen the cast. You know all of this information that they will immediately ask you. Oh my God. So how is Canada viewing us? Am I the favorite? Who do people hate me? We weren't paying attention. We weren't really watching. I don't know what they plan on saying here.
Yeah. Or the super fan competition when they're like, oh, so you're a super fan? Oh no, I've never actually seen an episode. Like, it's so ridiculous. We're staff members. That was their other option. That's just so dumb. They honestly, like, they couldn't come up with a better idea. I think your best bet is to just go in and play dumb and just be like, is this not the first day? Wait, I have no idea what happened. They just had us in a room and then they put us in here. Like, that's the easiest thing you could do.
Yeah.
That's pretty easy.
I saw somebody on Twitter saying that their friend had suggested saying someone from the house picked us to come in. And then it sows dissension and distrust among everyone else. So they'll be like, who was the person? And they're like, I don't know. They just said someone from the house picked us to come in.
Yeah, I like that idea. However, that to me requires you to trust the person that you're working with. I mean, I know personally, I would want to lie as little as possible because ultimately my cover can be blown by the person that I'm going into the house with. Of course, these are two recruits. They're not thinking of stuff like that. Look, obviously, if this was me and I was thinking on the spot, I would just say, and again, this is contingent on the fact that this was an edited episode, so we don't know what they actually discussed and what Big Brother may have vetoed. I would have liked for them to say that, we actually can't tell you how we got selected to be in the Big Brother house. But if you've watched previous seasons of Big Brother, you probably have a pretty good idea. I mean, that doesn't tell them how you got into the house, but at the same time, it does tell them, because I tell you, people like Paris and Kayla and Maddie, they're going to know instantly how these people got into the house, and they're going to be wondering why they can't just tell them the truth. So if you tell them up front, hey, we can't tell you, but you should be able to figure this out, and oh, by the way, we have immunity as well, I feel like they really just played this badly.
Someone on Twitter also said that, who was at the live taping, they said that they had come up with a bunch of other things, and what they went with, the super fan thing, was their best option.
So did Big Brother move them at all off of anything? Like, did they say, oh, you can't say that?
They didn't say whether they did or not, but they said, like, you should have seen their other options. This was the best.
Well, I feel like the truth is eventually going to come out. I mean, they're going to, with winks and nods, you like, as you saw with Mike on Big Brother All-Stars in the United States version, you can say something without saying it in the Big Brother house. If they are any capable players, even, you know, replacement level or just a little bit below, which I don't think they are, they should be able to get across their point and still have a little bit of trust currency in the house, Taryn.
Yeah, and honestly, I completely agree, Brent, that just be as honest as you can. Just be like, look, we're not allowed to say exactly how we got in. But you know, there, you know, we came in, you just say, look, I'm sorry. We're not able to say, or you can just say, look, you know, we were locked in a room and then we entered the house. We had to do some kind of, you know, puzzle. And then, if we did the puzzle, then we could get in, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. But just like, try to lie as minimally as possible. And then, you know, if you need to, you can be like, oh, look, it wasn't really a puzzle. I'm just not really allowed to say. And people will totally understand. Even just like, I mean, I like the idea of lying and saying that somebody picked you to be in the house. I think the problem with that is that eventually you're going to form bonds with people. You're going to form relationships with them, and they're going to expect you like, okay, so who is the person?
And you would say, I don't know. We have no idea. We were just told that someone from the house picked us to go in. Like, we don't know who. We were in a room. Like, we were like just said, told to I go like in.
That. But if I was Veronica, I'd be afraid that Maren would blow my cover at any moment, saying that that was, he can't tell us the reason why we got into the house, but he's telling everybody that that's a made up story. And then if you're sticking to that story, then where is your trust with these people? You really have to be careful with how much lying you do.
Yeah. And especially like going into the house on a lie, as little as you can lie as possible in the game of Big Brother is the best, because you want to be able to get away with it when you do lie, when you need to lie. And this is not a necessary lie. There's no reason to lie in this situation other than the fact that you're literally not allowed to say the truth. And so you can just say the truth, which is, I'm not allowed to say the truth. Sorry. Yep.
And I was afraid that they thought about it and then Big Brother vetoed it and said, oh, well, you can't say that either. So I would have just agreed to whatever. But once we got into the house, I would have just taken control of my own fate and said exactly what I said.
Yeah. And again, if they're not, if you're not allowed to say that you're not allowed to say, then you can be like, you can just be very vague and make it obvious that you weren't allowed to say without actually saying that you weren't allowed to say. Again, there are plenty of people in this house that will know exactly what's going on, and it'll be totally fine. I'm getting lots of messages about, like, how will they explain all their belongings being here? Why wouldn't they know these people's names? The cast, even if they thought this was the first episode, the cast had been released.
Right.
It's
terrible too, because reality TV just doesn't throw people onto a show. You have to sign waivers, you have to sign contracts, they have to do background checks. They're not just going to pick somebody out of an audience sight unseen and say, here you go. I mean, it just doesn't work like that. And how did your belongings come with you? Did everybody in the audience bring a bag of
they all had suitcases?
I mean, come on. It's just like, again, the less lying, the better.
I'm really sad we didn't get to see this on the feeds, because I can totally see that conversation where it's like, oh, so you saw the episodes, you saw like what happened this week, and they're like, oh no, actually, the episodes didn't start airing until tonight. We weren't allowed to. I don't know. They'll come up with something. Why did you have all your stuff? Oh, everyone brought their stuff. Don't you know our names? Don't you know the cast? Oh no, they didn't release the cast early this time. It's just like, this is like Jacob with the immunity papers. It's like, where's the receipts here? Where's the proof?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let me know if you have any more questions. What do you guys think is going to happen? I remember somebody asked, who is in the most danger, do you think? What do you guys think is going to happen next week? Do we have any predictions?
Well, I heard that Melissa on the feeds, not only Hamza trying to switch the vote from Rosina, but also Andrew, apparently, from the sneak. We saw a little bit of a sneak peek earlier today. Not a spoiler, but it was like 15 minutes long. I don't know how long it was because I started to fall asleep. But I know enough that I saw that Andrew also was trying to flip the vote. And the House actually wasn't even sure that it was going to be a unanimous vote. They were concerned about where Andrew's vote ultimately was going to go. So I don't think he's making friends in the House. I don't think it has anything to do with his heaven and hell picks. I think it has everything to do with his social interactions in the House trying to save Rosina.
Yes.
Yeah, I also think that the heaven and hell thing can't help him. Like, it's an easy reason to nominate him, like an easy excuse to be like, oh, well, you put me in hell and that put me on the, like, close to being on the block first week. So, it's only fair that I put you on the block this week. So I think he's in a lot of danger.
Yes, we have another question from Lisa in the chat who asks, any regrets on your draft picks? And that's an interesting question, because we had these ideas of people coming into the season, and I think we're in this weird in the middle purgatory stage where we know slightly more information about them, but still very little. So are there any ones that really stick out to you as regrets, Melissa?
I don't know if there's a regret, but I guess I probably would have picked Erica sooner. I had an opportunity to pick her at one point, if I'm remembering correctly, and I didn't, and I went for someone else. And, now I'm regretting it a little bit, because it seems like people seem to like her and she seems to be able to blend in more than I thought she would. So I kind of wish I had picked her a little bit sooner. But overall, I don't really have many regrets, considering that I kind of got saddled with Rosina. And so,
girl bye to that. You had a choice between Rosina and Veronica, and you picked Rosina.
Thanks. I don't regret my pick.
Number two, you picked Andrew over Erica, so that was the horse you decided to ride with on that one.
That was it. Yeah. See, I wish I would have reversed those two. In terms of picking the gatecrashers, I still stick with my strategy of not picking the gatecrashers, because the opportunity to have them get voted out right away was too great. So,
oh, totally. Yeah. I lost two people right away. Yeah. I lost Mikey and Kirsten right away. You can't say my strategy was all that great. I got stuck with Veronica, and that may be like Taryn getting stuck with Omarosa during Big Brother Celebrity. But
Omarosa going back. And if we were to go back to the BB Celeb, I would have picked Omarosa.
Oh, yeah, totally.
A lot sooner.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I got a screenshot of the captions that are on the live feeds right now. The live feeds are up, but they're not running. There's these captions on there instead of the stuff going on in the house. Cleo the Leo tweeted that, you know, the HOH competition probably ended 4 hours ago. That's why the feeds aren't up yet still.
Yeah, it seems like that letter did a lot of good. Yay! Right? Brent, you're so entitled. Yeah, stop acting like you own the show, Brent.
There's a screenshot of one of the captions that Rick O'Connor on Twitter says, this feels like a shout out to Brent. Oh, honey, we're not the villain for the feeds being down. You don't know the villain until you watch the show, with a picture of Gary.
I think you are the villain at this point, having watched your terrible episode that was really edited badly. Taryn, you could have edited this episode better. I'll just say
of
that.
Of course. Come on, I can edit it. Oh, my God.
First of all, don't insult me.
I've been saying that these Big Brother people should hire me as an editor for a long time, but let's face it, even if I was an editor, they'd just tell me what to do. So we can't blame the poor editors, it's the producers. But still, I completely, the story for this this episode it just didn't quite work for us. No. All right.
Yeah, no.
Yes. And as we were talking about, Andrew seems to be somebody that's sticking out in terms of the what we saw on the feeds. When the feeds came up very briefly before the eviction, people were talking about Andrew a lot. We know very little about what's happening, but just the frequency with which people said Andrew's name made me nervous for Andrew. I think that Andrew has been overplaying his hand. And it's also something that has made me feel a little bit better about Hamza. The fact that Hamza was the one on the episode that was pushing really hard, but on the feeds, all they could talk about was Andrew. I think right. That says something very bad about Andrew and something kind of good about Hamza.
I think that Andrew is maybe coming off a little bit more shifty, and Hamza, even being a little bit of an idiot with the way he's going about things, has a little bit of heart to him. I mean, I found him very endearing in the diary room. I really was into Hamza and what he was giving us, even if it was somewhat insane.
Yes. All right. So
I'm sorry. One more thing I'm going to talk about. I think the person who's done the biggest turnaround for me is Erica. I mean, she looked a little bit disinterested coming into the house. I really wasn't buying anything that she was giving me during the preseason interviews, but she seems to have integrated herself into the house so well. Again, just absolutely gorgeous. She's just stunning. Like I'm standing here so much right now.
It's like, what is going on right now?
I know, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think that Erica is has really shown that people were underestimating her, and Erica is a pick that I very much do not regret. I am very glad that I have Erica on my team. And she was back to the baseball cap and everything, so she's really got that duality of personality thing going on still. So very excited about watching Erica. Very excited about Maddie still. I'm glad that Maddie happened to survive this. She didn't seem like she was in any danger. And she, I guess, will be the surrogate sort of super fan now that Kirsten is not in the house. So do you guys have anything else that you wanted to say before we wrap this up all the way until Monday? There's not going to be an episode.
I think that they could have done a better job, but let's see. I'm excited for the new season. I'm going to try to look past this. This is a little bit of a black mark, though, as far as I'm concerned, insofar as if they really want to do something for us, you know, the people that actually support, tweet, and watch the show. I'm going to try to move past this for them, and so it's up to them how they want to play it from here on out.
All right. Yeah. Well. Do we have an idea for a hashtag this episode? Let me know in the chat if you have any ideas. Let me know, Brent, Melissa, if you have any ideas.
There was one. It was Ba Hamza. I thought it was really fun. But,
that's pretty good.
Anything else, I'm totally down for it. I'm proud of myself for remembering a hashtag for once.
There you go. So,
Chapo RHAP House in the chat says, hopefully this is the angriest we'll be all season. And I can agree with that. I hope this is the angriest we are all season. I hope the rest of the season is awesome and exciting and fun. And we get something similar to, you know, Big Brother Celebrity, which I never thought that I would be touting as a great season.
I think the angriest I was during Big Brother Canada 5 was when they had that stupid backwards week. And then it just ended up basically allowing the majority of the House to run exactly what they wanted to have happen.
Oh,
anyway.
Yeah.
Remember, I got lost coming back from the casino. I think I maybe even missed a podcast. I'm not sure. But then I went on Periscope and just totally let it out. And I was mad.
Yeah. And look, if for anyone that is not happy with this twist, just stop poo-pooing me when I say the twists are bad. Twists are bad. This is what happens with twists. All right. Well, Hamza. I love that. Make sure you check out our live feed update. We'll be starting tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. I will tweet out the link. I'm hoping if everything goes right, we will be live simultaneously on YouTube and Facebook, wherever you want to watch. I will be with Puya, and we will talk about everything that happens on the feeds. There would be a lot to cover. So make sure you check out the live feed update tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. And that will continue every morning at 10 a.m. Eastern until the end of time or Big Brother 6, whichever comes first. So check those out. Very, very fun stuff. If you've never checked out the live feed updates before, we have a lot of fun there. I feel, you know, you're very informed when you end up watching the show. There's a lot of stuff that you get to enjoy with an extra layer of detail and enjoyment sauce. And you're going to have to check out the Thursday morning updates if you want the Wednesday night recap, because that's where it's going to be. We will also hopefully have some exit interviews for you at some point tomorrow. And that will be a lot of fun. Rob Sesternino will be live Monday night after the next episode of Big Brother Canada 6, and talking about everything that's been happening on the episode side of things. And then of course we'll be back again next Thursday night to recap the next live eviction. Make sure you check out the Taran show as well. I talked to Hoodie Allen, the rapper, great guy. And you have to check out my conversation with Rennie Martin. The Rosina that could have been the Rennie Martin of the season. I've got the actual Rennie Martin to talk to quench your thirst. So Brent, do you have any podcasts that you've got going on?
Obviously RuPaul's Drag Race took place tonight. I haven't even watched it yet, so I'm going to watch that and podcast with Mike Bloom and Liana Boris later this weekend. And it's coming up on the end, and then right after that we're going to do a draft or a preview of the queens from season 10. It's like they're ending one season and immediately going into the next season. So it's nonstop podcasting for me from here on out.
All right. Well, you can follow us on Twitter. I am at Armstrong Taran. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Melissa is at It's Melissa. And hopefully we'll be cheered up by the time we're talking again. So something I forgot, the LFC roundtable Tuesday nights. Make sure you check that out as well. So for Brent and Melissa, I am Taran Armstrong. Hashtag Bahamza. We'll see you next time.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.